Appreciate everybody being here on the open. We got Brandon Lee Gowton coming up here in about 20 minutes on the show. Looking forward to talking to BLG. Let's go to Brian Garner, our super chat today. I know my chat's not working, everybody, so sorry if I can't read some of your other comments. I did get a super chat that came through. Garner says, when Mannion was hired, I glanced at the TV and didn't see his name just under the picture. First thought was, why did the Eagles hire Ross Tucker? Ha ha.
Does Sean look like Ross Tucker? I don't know. I know Ross pretty well. I don't see that. I don't see that. Yeah, but I guess everybody sees things different. I don't see a big. He doesn't look like Ross's brother to me.
I'm looking forward to hearing Ross gas up the Eagles in the preseason games already. And
oh, he'll gas them up.
Oh, he will. There's no doubt about it. I can't blame him.
Well, that's part of his gig. That's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's what he's paid to do. Yeah,
now, if he does a lot of national stuff, obviously, you know, CBS, Westwood, and he's more, you know, more objective, I would say, than when he's doing the Eagles in-house preseason stuff.
John, we just talked about some of the offseason moves that will be made. We even mentioned Lane Johnson, obviously, as he's one of the biggest stories of the offseason. My next question for you in terms of acquisition or moves to make this year would be, last year was an awful year for two key guys that were paid big money and identified as a core part of your team, in Landon Dickerson and Cam Jurgens. Should the Eagles start, I'm not going to say you're getting their replacements, but do you maybe need a draft backup O-lineman? Do you need to put a bigger priority on having guys in the chamber that can fill in for those guys if you don't feel as good about them, you know, long term? I feel like we've had such great offensive linemen here. Like, we even thought about having a backup tackle in case Jordan Mailata or Lane Johnson goes down, really that all that much. You know, now we got to start. It feels like we got to start thinking about that. How much, you know, do you think Howie will pay attention to the backup offensive lineman after the year you saw from Cam Jurgens and Landon Dickerson?
Yeah, well, I thought they showed significant. I mean, people, I realize that people want immediate gratification. I realize that. But they drafted three guys on day three on the offensive line, Drew Kendall, Miles Hinton, Cam Williams. I still think Drew Kendall can be a starting center in this league. You know, but it's going to take some time. One thing about offensive linemen, number one, and this probably Cam Williams specifically, who has admitted it, who I thought it was going to be bad when he played week 18. And he was actually pretty good. I was pretty impressed. But one thing about young offensive linemen, when they get to the NFL, they got to hit the weight room. In an NFL strength program, old man strength, as they call it in this league, they got to get stronger. And that's the case with all three of those guys. But I think all three of those guys still have upside and still could potentially be meaningful to the Eagles down the road. Whether it, you know, when we talk about the potential of Cameron Williams, a lot of people thought, that's a kid, if he stayed at Texas for one more year, could have been a first or second round pick. And he came out early. You know, sometimes guys have family issues. They want to take care of their family. They want to do some things, even though NIL's changed and maybe they can stay. So everything's shifting so much on the college landscape. But, you know, Cameron came out and, you know, he might be the answer. So I think everybody wants it. And even Holland Pierce, who's an undrafted kid who's massive and, again, needs to get in the weight room so his strength matches his body size. They got four pretty nice developmental prospects, which is another reason I don't think they should move on from Jeff Stoutland, by the way. But I think people forget that and they just dismiss them because they didn't see them right away. You're muted.
Yeah, my bad. I don't think people forget it. I just don't think people look at them as a premium, you know, player. I mean, how many fifth, sixth, seventh round picks, you know, actually pan out?
Well, that's why you carpet bomb it.
Right, you take five of them.
And they carpet bombed it. And so the point is, look, if they can get a Caden Proctor in round one, I think, yeah, that's a difference maker, potentially.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
And then it you know, Blaine Landon was a second round pick who would have been a first round pick if it weren't for the injury history. You got a great couple of years and here are the injuries. This is one of the reasons he wasn't a first round pick. He would have been a no brainer as a first round pick if it wasn't for the injuries. Cam, a second round pick, developed. Now you have some injury issues. So yeah, I mean, And even Tyler Steen was a third-round pick, so he's considered a premium pick in the NFL's eyes. So they're always going to invest in the offensive line. You don't have to worry about that. But I do think people don't realize how much they invested last year when it came to developmental prospects. And it might take a little longer, but I think all three of those guys have significant upside. And the Eagles think Collin Pierce has significant upside. I'm not going to go that far, but I Cameron Williams specifically intrigues me because he legitimately, I guarantee you, we would have been talking about this guy as a potential first round pick this year if he stayed at Texas. But he's got to get stronger. And Drew Kendall, I think he could be a starting player in this league. Miles Hinton.
You're expecting these guys to be a little bit better this year, at least a little bit further along where viable backups. Okay.
Yeah. And that's why they did it. But I'd also, you know, the one guy, if you look at the free agents on the offensive side of the ball, you know, who legitimately could be brought back. And that, you know, I don't think, and I could be wrong, and maybe the market isn't there for him, but I don't think it's legitimate that Dallas Goedert is going to be back. So I do that as explanation. Of all the offensive free agents they have, the one guy I want to bring back is Brett Toth, because I think he did a freaking great job as a backup. A great job. And nobody believed in him, and I didn't believe in him from watching a bunch of off, you know, target snaps over the years in practice. But man, he got his opportunity and he freaking balled out, man. That's exactly what you want, a veteran backup who can play all three interior offensive line positions and not only be serviceable, he was, you could argue at times that he was better than Cam Jurgens or Landon Dickerson because of the injuries. But
yeah, right. No, but even, the point's still well taken, yeah.
So I'd bring him back, you know, and you aren't going to have to pay him a ton. I think they're fine when it comes to depth on the offensive line. The question is, can the starters get back to their Pro Bowl / all pro levels, which is, you know, the big difference maker. Obviously it's nice to have good backups. It's nice to have good developmental options, but it's better to have the all pros out there on every play.
No doubt about it. We will see what they end up doing here, John. So it's going to be interesting. So how many offensive linemen do you expect them to take just to look for just a potential premium pick on Lane Johnson? And then you don't think they'll need to carpet bomb them late because of what they've done.
I don't expect three on day three again, because I do think they like the guys they got. But, you know, with Howie Hill, if there's an offensive lineman they really like to have on day three, before day three, they have what they call a passion meeting where everybody gets to lobby for one particular player that's still on the board that they think could be a really good player. Showed edited, obviously, clips of that meeting on their unscripted show last year. So it's where all the scouts and everybody involved gets together and they say, all right, pound the table for this guy. They each pound the table for one guy. And if they like a guy in the fifth, sixth round, they'll take an offensive lineman more than any other position. So, but I don't expect them to carpet bomb it like they did last year.
Going to be interesting to see what they end up doing. Garner, appreciate the super chat. Good stuff there. As always, everybody, we're going to have Brandon Lee Gatlin coming up in a little bit. Curious to hear BLG's take on the, you know, the hirings and everything. We didn't hear BLG. We heard him last Wednesday, so we didn't get a chance to hear from him.
Yeah, Sean Mannion era started on Thursday.
Thursday late, right? Thursday night? Yeah. Remember we did our first show at like 6 o'clock on a Thursday. I think the news broke around 5 or 5:15-ish. Whatever it was, and then we did our night show, and off and running we were. And then you got the Friday news of Josh Grizzard. So now the staff has come more together since we last talked to BLG. I'll be curious to hear what BLG has to say about the
big news. The Eagles lost a free agent. Terrace Marshall signed with the Miami Dolphins. He's a futures guy. So
big news there.
Terrace was here. For most of training camp and spent a lot of the season on the practice squad. So he's allowed to sign now, but obviously unrestricted free agents aren't allowed to sign until March 11th. But Terrace Marshall gets a contract with the Dolphins. So good for him.
Good stuff for Terrace Marshall. Appreciate Johnny Mac. Appreciate everybody being here this morning. As always, as we move into the offseason. John, where do you think the Eagles will be the most aggressive this offseason?
Well, that is wholly dependent on what happens. I know you're going to get bored, but I mean, obviously, if they lose Lane Johnson, they're going to be really aggressive. If they lose A.J. Brown, they're going to be really aggressive at wide receiver. If they lose Jalen Phillips, they got to be really aggressive at edge. So that is wholly dependent on if they can get their in-house stuff done before free agency in the draft. And I think I certainly Lane will alert them if he's going to be part of the, so that'll be, they'll have a concrete answer there. The AJ stuff obviously is more complicated. And Jalen Phillips, you know, kind of up to him. If I'm him, if I'm Jalen Phillips, I'm testing the market, man. I'm testing the market.
Because I mean, I've been surprised by the projections on him. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to be right, but I've been surprised by him.
He is 26 years old, and he is going into a market where the best edge rusher is Trey Hendrickson, which, look, he's a great player. He's 32. He's 32.
And overpaid.
Not that there's not, well, he's going to be overpaid. Not
Trey, that, I don't think Trey Hendrickson's all that great.
Not that there aren't dumb teams out there, but are you really going to spend $25 million on a 32-year-old guy? I think somebody will, but I don't think that's good to say. And you look at the other guys. These are guys scheduled to be free agents. Khalil Mack, obviously, he's going to the Hall of Fame. He's 35 years old. Hassan Reddick, we know. He's 32, Hassan, now. Joey Bosa's 31. Leonard Floyd's 34. Those are your top edge rushers. And then you get to the, you know, Malcolm Kuntz, who's 28. So that's pretty good. Yetur Gross-Mattis is 28. And then you got Shaelon Phillips, who's going to be 27. He's not even 27 yet. You think somebody's not going to overpay that guy?
Well, ACL and Achilles in the last 2 years, John.
Well, he looked pretty good.
Looked good to me. I'm with you. I'm just saying. I think people do get worried about that.
Well, I'm sure that will limit it somewhat, but when those are your and guys can trade for Max Crosby, and who knows what, you know, Myles Garrett will wake up one day and Jim Schwartz isn't there and he'll want to leave again. And you can go to the trade market and things like that. But that is a premium position in the NFL where there's like one guy who's entering the prime of his career who could turn into a Brandon Brooks. That's what the Eagles used to do. Find that guy coming off his rookie contract who maybe hasn't quite broken out. That's the sweet spot of free agency. Shaelon Phillips is in the sweet spot of free agency, and he's getting to free agency.
And so the Eagles can pay him what?
If I'm Shaelon Phillips, I am Milton Williams in it. All right, spot rack. You said $17 million a year. I think somebody's giving him over 20. I'd bet on myself if I'm Shaelon Phillips. I know a lot of Eagles fans will say, nobody's listening to me, number one. Nobody at the Eagles is listening to me. So my advice isn't taken by Shaelon Phillips. So calm down from that. If I were the player, I'd bet on myself and I'd see what's out there. It's what Isaiah Rodgers did. It's what Milton Williams did. Now, different levels, obviously, but if I'm Shaelon Phillips, I'm going to force the Eagles to pay me my market worth.
And your walkaway number would be what?
23, probably.
A little north of where I am, but I don't know. I'm starting to believe the predictions. They don't have a great track record, so that, you know, I don't think they do. At least, I don't think it's a good thing to rely on. But I do think about those injuries, and I don't know. I mean, is somebody going to Josh Sweat got what? $18 million.
Well, Josh Sweat, and then again, this is another thing which I think even people, and I'm not, because like I always bring up Brad because Brad's great at it. He got $18 million. Yes. He's older, significant injury history, significant. Josh Sweat doesn't like to talk about.
Significant too.
But not lose your leg significant.
Yeah, but that was, isn't that viewed as more old? I mean, that was Josh Sweat from his really early days. Like,
it was,
did not indicate that he's cooked. I mean, I get it. The shelf life might be shorter on that specific player, but.
Look, Josh got sick of talking about it so much. First of all, he always had to wear the brace, still wears the brace, to my knowledge. I haven't paid attention, and I don't know why he dropped it at this point.
Yeah, he did. He had a good year, though.
He's had a great year here. For many years, I mean, the Eagles had him on a freaking strict snap count because they were worried about it. I mean, it was not a run-of-the-mill ACL. It was not a run-of-the-mill. It was a Teddy Bridgewater-type injury, you know, where you have to get to the hospital quickly or there's some bad stuff that's going to happen.
Yeah, right.
So it has followed him around, and he hates talking about it, and I get it from that perspective. He's had a great career. But the only reason I bring that up is because he does have, and that's how teams think, He does have a significant injury history. Everybody knows about it. And he made $18 million with a $279 million cap number, not a $306 million cap number. So when the cap goes up, rising tides lift all boats. So, you know, you can argue who the better player is. I think Jalen's slightly better, but you can certainly argue in Josh's direction from that standpoint. But he's younger. Phillips is younger. I would argue the injury history, even though it's significant, is a little bit less than Josh's from a concern standpoint.
Well, Josh did have the crazy, you know, pre-pros. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. That was.
And again, the cap is going to be $27 million higher than it was the year prior.
That is big, man. That is big. That's a big number, John.
So
what are we up to? 303 to 307, you said it was? Somewhere in that range?
Yeah, somewhere in that range. Yeah. It's not official yet, but that's the range they gave to what it's going to be. So, yeah. So people tend to forget that thing changes and goes up. And that'll affect. But, and then the biggest point, which I didn't bring, is, again, the scarcity of players at a premium position that are not post 30. Because all the good edge rushers set to hit free agency are all over 30. The only one who isn't is Jalen Phillips, literally. And I don't know how well Malcolm Kuntz played last year. I'd have to look at it. But I haven't kept up on my Malcolm Kuntz news, so I apologize for that. But he's young, too. And he already, you know, got a, you know, he had a significant salary before. I'll look him up real quick. But there are not a lot of guys. There are not a lot of guys out there who, and obviously everybody wants and needs pass rushers. If I'm Jalen Phillips' agent, I'm going the Isaiah Rogers route and saying, all right, we'll get back to you. But if somebody gives us more, that's where I would go.
Yeah, we'll see what ends up happening there. We got BLG coming up, but maybe he'll be here in a minute or so. So we'll talk to him. John, real quick, I think we mentioned this, but it all runs together a little bit. I know what you mean more now as the days go by, what you mean by that phrase. Did we talk about the Giants getting Matt Nagy? I think that broke yesterday, or did that break the day before?
No, we didn't talk about it. I think you mentioned it, but
it happened during our show, right, yesterday?
Yeah, I think he's a good coach. I don't know why he's portrayed the way he is, but perception often overtakes reality. I thought that's the guy the Eagles should have hired. Because look, nothing against Sean Mannion. I don't know how you go into a season with somebody with no experience after what you went through last season, when all anyone complained about was the guy had no experience. And now you bring in a guy with less experience. Doesn't compute for me. Doesn't mean it can't work. But I know Matt's not going to be overwhelmed. Now people will say, well, Sean's got a bigger upside. Maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. How do you know?
Well, it feels like the Giants are building that team to play the Eagles, doesn't it? I mean, Matt Nagy and Vic Fangio were coaches together in 2018 with the Bears. Nagy was first year as a head coach. Vic Fangio was his defensive coordinator that year. He had a really good year. And then they got Denard Wilson as their DC, former Eagle coach. I'm like, John Harbaugh's got his sights set on the NFC East first, as he should. And they're trying to dethrone the Eagles. That's the way to do it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think with John, it's just a guy, you know, he's been around for so long. He's got the big Rolodex, so to speak. But he knows everybody, been in the industry for so long. He knows every coach. He worked with Denard Wilson before. He worked with, you know, as you mentioned, he worked with Vic before. He's worked with everybody at some point because so many people go through Baltimore, but which is a well-regarded organization as well. And he wanted Todd Monken, so it's, you know, it's not his first choice, but Todd got a head coaching job, and that's how it works. And I think they could have done a lot worse than Matt Nagy. And I know why, for whatever reason, I don't get it. He was pretty good in Chicago, considering what he had. Now, he had Vic's good defense. That's part of it. I don't see anybody else do much with Mitchell Trubisky.
Me neither.
And that one year when he lost the double doink game, which I thought was his biggest mistake because he had a chance to manipulate that and get Minnesota in that game, and they would have boat raced that team because they couldn't stop the run. And that's what the Bears did well. And he made the mistake, and he said, I don't care, and I'm going to go win week 18. And that was a mistake because he could have avoided the Eagles, who were coming off a Super Bowl. And it was still a close game. They should have won it. The kick would have been good, but it was who was it? It was Trayvon Hester. I always get Trayvon Hester mixed up with Bruce Hector. Trayvon Hester got his fingertip on the football, and the rest is history. But yeah, if you look at Chicago before Matt Nagy got there and after, it's a pretty good coach in Chicago. And he's learned for many, many years under Andy Reid, which I never think is a bad thing as well.
Good stuff there, Johnny.